Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to discovering delectable dining? Find something that sizzles, a time-tested favorite, a feast for your eyes and palate, and a dining experience handled with care. In Vicksburg, the key to the South.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday. Rhino down there in studio. Good to be back together, Rhino. We hadn't been together the past couple weeks.
Yeah, I was a bit thrown off by it. I went home to take a short nap because I was a little tired after the day. And then,
you're like, I got
to
go back.
Yeah, my alarm went off and it hit snooze, and I sat bolt upright. I was like, no, can't snooze, can't snooze.
Yeah, this time last week I was getting ready to watch grown men in a 20-foot-high steel cage. One of the most improbable things I've seen. It was fun last week. But glad to be back with you guys here today. We are brought to you by Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Throughout the show, we'll be talking about some of the cool stuff that's going on in my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi. A lot of cool stuff going on here in Starkville, Mississippi as well. As football is back here in Starkville. We got yesterday, we spoke to the assistant coaches for the one and only time this year. If I'm just going to save you guys some trouble. If you're going to tweet at me through the year and be like, you need to ask Coach Hutzler this, or if there's a fumble, you need to ask Coach Tucker what's going on in this room. I can't do it. Yesterday was it. That's all we're getting from the assistant coaches yesterday. So that was that. Tomorrow, the first practice of the 2024 season. Preseason camp. It is not fall. Go look. If you think it's fall, go stand outside for a few minutes, and then you come back in and you tell me that it's fall. I don't want to live anywhere where there's a 102-degree fall. So, that's tomorrow. We'll talk to Jeff Lebby after practice. Looking forward to speaking with him. We'll have that audio, of course, on Sports Talk Mississippi. Talking to the coaches yesterday, and we're going to go into a little bit more detail on that on Thunder and Lightning's podcast for tomorrow's show. But the two guys that I was the most impressed with were on the offensive side of the ball, were Cody Kennedy, the offensive line coach, and Chad Bumpus, the receivers coach. Now, maybe I'm biased towards Bumpus. You know, full disclosure, he's a friend. But he especially seemed very, very pumped about his group. And I think that he has got the most talent. His room has got the most talent in terms of kind of proven as proven's a word you can't really use in college football sometimes, because Kelly Akari is a proven guy, but he hasn't proven it in the SEC. But he's done it before. But then you have guys like Sonka Burnside, who's not proven at all. I thought that Kennedy he said something that I like the sound of it. He said that I don't like the word potential, because potential means you haven't done it yet. And so when you hear about, he's got great potential, what you're really saying is, yeah, he hasn't done anything on the field yet, but he looks good in his uniform. That's a good way of putting that. So potentially, State's got a really deep and talented receiving room. And, of course, that's a necessary thing in this Jeff Lebby offense. And we've talked about it before. When you look at the stat sheet for Jeff Lebby throughout the years, he's always found a receiver to turn into a guy who catches 60, 70, in some cases 80 passes. You know, and it's usually a guy that the year before didn't do any of that. You know, when you look at Elijah Moore at Ole Miss, the year before that, he wasn't catching passes like that. Dontario Drummond didn't have a season like that the year before. He had 76 catches and over 1,000 yards. Drake Stoops didn't do that the 2 years ago at Oklahoma. So somebody on this roster, if things hold to form, he's going to catch 60, 70, 80 passes, be around 1,000 yards, be around double-digit touchdowns. I think you got some options there, so I get why Bumpus is excited. Kennedy's group is more interesting in that And you think about the offensive line, and you think about, you know, that's a, you know, we talk about chemistry all the time, and sometimes, you know, you don't have the chemistry you want in your locker room. But on the offensive line, those five guys, you got to have some cohesiveness. So how do you get that when you've got five guys who will play in their first game together when they play the first game of this season? You know, four of them are likely to have been not even at Mississippi State a season ago. So he talked about the chemistry building process and trying to get those guys on the same page. I just thought it was interesting. But he's a guy who, you know, was successful in the portal, went out and got guys he feels can come in and start right away. Got two guys in Minor and Pounders who I think are going to be good players for Mississippi State. And the other two guys have got great potential in Martinez and Jackson. Potential, there's that word again. Interesting. That word is a word we use all the time when we talk about college football. Oh, potential. He's got great potential. And then when you really break it down, he's all right. From the defensive side of the ball, talking to Hutzler, and he remembered his interview that he did with us here on Thunder and Lightning Live, where I forbid him to use the word multiple. Because I kind of went back to the well on that. I just wanted to get an idea of, you know, formationally, what is the base for him, you know? Is Chad Bumpus any relation to Coach Wally Bumpus? I doubt it very seriously. They don't spell him the same either. I think some people, first off, have already written Hutzler off. And you guys know me. What do I always say? You know, when we get new information, we'll react to it. I don't have any information on Coleman Hutzler, so I got to see some games before I want to formulate a full opinion on the guy. But I think there are some people who are already shopping for next year's defensive coordinator, and I think that's unfair, and I think that's could be imprudent, because when talking to the guy, I mean, he sounds just like every other defensive coordinator I've talked to. Now, my track record on that is mixed. I thought Peter Sermon was very impressive when I interviewed him, but how did that turn out? You know, Bob Shoup was an impressive guy, and he had ups and downs. Jeff Collins was an interesting guy. So, you know, but Hutzler, the things he talked about, the fundamentals of defense and what he's trying to achieve, I mean, I could buy into him, and I think that he's a good coach. Now, will that translate? You know, there's being a good coach and there's being a good coordinator. You know, just because you can coach your position doesn't mean that you can handle all of the ins and outs that come with coaching a defense. That's where we're going to have to see how we're going to have to see where they come in. I think that he's got some guys there, some talented guys, and I don't even know if potential is the right word for those guys because they really haven't shown you anything. What one complaint I had for the last 4 years is State's inability to rotate guys in, and that's why you have guys like John Lewis, who's, you know, third, fourth year in the program and really hasn't made any kind of impact, despite the fact that I know he's a talented guy. Guys like Trevion Williams, who, you know, he's battled injuries, and Calvin Dinkins have battled injuries. So it's not even potential. It's just kind of hope. State is defensively this year, on paper, when you just look at them from a recruiting perspective, there's a lot of guys there that were four-star guys, but they haven't done anything at the next level yet. So, Hutzler's got his work cut out for him. Another guy I was impressed with was the special teams coach, Cliff Odom. And I'll be honest, I came in with not a lot of knowledge of him, didn't know much about him. And maybe that's on me, you know, that I'm not giving the third phase of the game the respect that it deserves. But I thought he was very bright and very, I thought his answers were very good. The questions we were asking him, and even something as simple as, you know, talking about the, you know, where State looking at it in terms of punter, I thought he went in depth with us. His answer about Ethan Pulliam was very interesting, the MSU Diamond Dog, who also will be punting this year. You know, he's behind a little bit because he played baseball, but just from an athleticism standpoint and from a kicking standpoint, the guy's top notch. So I'm interested to see if he can be a true two sport athlete for Mississippi State. I hate that that's the only time that we'll get to talk to those guys. But at the same time, if that's going to be the policy, I can live with it, right? I would rather it be you can't talk to them anymore than, yeah, you can talk to them, but, you know, we're not really going to make them available. That would be a problem for me. If you're just going to say they're not available, they're not available. And that's great. Maybe I'll run into them in the or one of them from the grocery store or something. I can always ask them a question there. A good coach will take talent and get performance. Question is, are players able to do their assignments? The quarterback's coach, John Holasek, made a comment about that. He said, you know, the answers are always there if you can process things quickly enough. Talking about Blake Shapen and his ability to get through his reads and get you know how he's going to run this offense. The answers are always there if you can process things fast enough. And I think that's something that people don't think about enough from time to time, is the mental portion of it, especially at the quarterback position. You know, it's great that you can throw it 50, 60, 70 yards and you can run a 4.6 or whatever. But can you, you know, are you reading the defense correctly? And so that's something that, you know, with Shapen being a veteran, you would hope would be the case for him. So good to talk to those guys, and we'll talk some more about it. Tomorrow is the first practice of the season. So what am I going to be looking for? What would I like to see if I could watch the whole practice? So that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. It's just day one, so I'll just go ahead and tell you if State's going to win games or not. I'll make my entire projection off of one practice. That makes a lot of sense, right? I feel like that's the way to go about it. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
The One.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you got it.
Thunder and Lightning, back here on with you on a Wednesday evening. We are brought to you by the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg.com this Sunday in my hometown. The Vicksburg National Military Park Fee-Free Day in honor of the anniversary of the Great American Outdoors Act. Visitors can enjoy free admission to the Vicksburg National Military Park over there on Clay Street. For more information, call 601-636-0583. That is 636-0583 is dangerously close to my grandmother's old phone number. That's really close. Gosh, that's crazy. Anyway, not that I don't think that her house was not far from the Confederate Cemetery, though. So, you know, you could go out and see literally thousands of graves from her backyard sometimes. It was crazy. Well, let's stroll down memory lane there. Tomorrow is the start of practice here at Mississippi State. Football is back, version 2.0, tomorrow. Obviously, you know, just shorts and helmets out there. Nothing super physical going on, so you're not even in full pads. So obviously we can draw from that practice our prediction of not only Mississippi State season, but probably the entire SEC if we're getting right to it. Just from what we get to view in that 20 minutes of practice that the media will be allowed to view. What would I like to see? And we're making an assumption that I get to watch the whole practice, which we don't. So that's not an issue. Again, as long as policies are policies, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, the first thing I'm interested in is I'd like to be able to draw up. I've never gone into a season with less of a real feel for the depth chart, especially on the defensive side of the ball, than I have in this year. I feel like if you told me to put down a depth chart, offensively, I could feel pretty confident. I think, you know, of the starting 11 on offense, I think I would probably get at worst 9, probably 10 out of 11. I might get all 11. I might not be correct on where some of the offensive linemen fit in. Maybe I have one receiver in a spot where he's actually on the other side of the field, something like that. Defensively, I feel like I would be doing really good if I got 6 or 7. I mean, there's just so many battles over there. There's so many question marks. Who the most proven guy on the defense is DeMonte Russell. Beyond that, you got a lot of inexperience. So putting together a depth chart would be a challenge for me. So that's something I would want to be able to do. And then look, I think if I were going to focus on a group, it would be in the secondary, because that's where I have the most questions. That's where that's where my focus would want to be. You know, who are your starting corners? Bryce Pollock, Kelly Jones, Brylon Lanier, Montre Miller. Are those are names to watch? Who are your safeties? How many safeties are there? Also, I don't know what the formation. So if you got three safeties back there, you know, my guess is Hunter Washington, maybe Corey Ellington, maybe Isaac Smith. Jacoby Albert is a guy I'm very excited to finally see healthy. You know, he was hurt all of last season. He's a guy that I think would have played a big role for State defensively, but he was injured and couldn't do so. But he has that is another one of your more experienced guys. Played at Kentucky prior to coming to Mississippi State. Isaac Smith is a guy that, you know, took his lumps as a true freshman and then, you know, kind of fell out of favor. That last year's staff was that was a weak of the many weaknesses that they had. And there were quite a few of them. One of them was when a guy did something wrong, they were kind of out of the loop at that point. Kevon Lee is a good example of that. Came to Mississippi State, had a couple of fumbles in practice, and it turned into you can't trust him with the ball. This guy led Penn State in rushing 2 years ago, but he couldn't get carries on that terrible offensive team a season ago. I think he'll get more opportunities this year. But Isaac Smith was kind of that way, you know. What game was it? Was it LSU? He got blown up. And then after that, you just didn't see a whole lot of him. And I think that this coaching staff is going to give him. And he's super talented. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, had a ton of offers, that could have gone anywhere in the country, and chose Mississippi State. I expect him to see him take a big leap forward this year. The secondary defensively is what I'm looking at. Offensively, it's tough to gauge, right, from practice, because you can't hit the quarterback. And in an offense like this that wants to give the quarterback some opportunities running the football, it becomes, it's kind of difficult. So I just want to see how accurate are you. I mean, it's one thing to be able to throw the football when you've got pressure, when you've got people bearing down on you. If you're in shorts and helmets and you don't have that kind of pressure, I expect you to be pretty accurate with your passes. If I see a quarterback in shells, or not even in shells, or not even wearing shoulder pads, you can't find his receivers consistently, especially down the field. That's a concern. I don't think that's going to be a problem with Chapin based off of what I saw in the spring game. He looked plenty accurate to me with the deep ball and with the short passing game. So I'm excited about that. And going back to what I said a few minutes ago, the receiver room, that's where, to me, State it potentially could be at its best. Between Akari, Coleman, Whittemore, the freshman, a guy like Jaden Wally, who's been kind of lost in the shuffle, Trent Sellers, and a guy that, you know, whose name keeps popping up, and you talk about, you know, I don't want to say potential. I don't know the word, but, you know, we heard a lot about Jordan Mosley the past couple of years, and he looks so good in practice. He looks so good, and it just has not translated. And I'm hearing those things again. This is kind of the last chance saloon for Jordan Mosley. You know, when he came from Northwestern, there was a lot of a buzz that he was going to be a big contributor for Mississippi State, and he hasn't been. And so this is, you know, a great opportunity for him. So, you know, getting an idea of those receiver rotations, who is where. I asked Chad Bumpus, you know, are guys locked into where they're going to play? Are you an outside receiver exclusively? Are you a slot receiver exclusively? And he said, no, we've got some combo guys. You know, that was one of the huge issue I had with Mike Leach and Steve Spurrier Jr. when they had Tulu Griffin. He was locked into that outside receiver, couldn't play him outside. And then last year, between Tulu and Xavion and Creed Whittemore, it was, well, these guys are slots and we can't get them. Just get your three best guys on the field. Figure it out. You know, if somebody's a little short, I don't care. Just put the three best receivers out there, and we'll take it from there. So I want to see what those rotations look like. From the C Spire text line, by the way, if you've got a question, you've got something you're interested in seeing in practice, hit me up, 601-879-4395. Can receivers get open and make space? That has been an issue over the years, that the windows are sort of tight. I think the thing that you look at there is this offense is designed to create space. It thrives in space. It's you know, splits are so wide in terms of the receivers, they get out wide. They're going to create space almost artificially, and so that it's not about, hey, I'm just fast and I can blow past this guy and And that's why I'm open. It's because of the way we've schemed it, the guys are going to be wide open. I mean, if you've watched Ole Miss these past few years, if you watched Oklahoma last year, I can't tell you the number of times you watched those games, and there's guys, they're not just open. They are, nobody else is in the screen with them open. The tight end position, especially in this offense, for some reason, really finds its way to huge open opportunities. You know, Kenny Yeboah when he was at Ole Miss, they got that, and then Cade Priestcorn these last couple of years. So, you know, I like Sadu Traore a lot. He's another guy that, you know, at Arkansas State, he looked like an NFL kind of player. Went to Colorado and got lost in the shuffle there, ends up at Mississippi State. I feel like he is going to be a player for Mississippi State that has a big season if things go right for him. You know, he certainly he has the physical tools. He has that, what is that word again? Potential? He has that potential. So we'll see. So that's something to keep an eye on, is those receiver and the running back rotation as well. I don't think State has got a guy that's going to be a, you know, 200 carry guy this year. They've got a bunch of guys they're going to want to work with. Booth, Lee, Pittman, Johnny Daniels, and then the true freshman Xavier Gayton. You know, how much can he contribute in year one? Can he be a contributor? He's probably the fastest guy in that group, so that's going to be worth something to him. But he's got a lot of catching up to do. Wasn't here for the spring. Booth is probably the guy I would pencil in as RB1 to start the year. He'll be in the backfield with Shapen on the first play of the season, I would imagine. But I think it's going to be very much like what Ole Miss did those first 2 years under Kiffin and Levy, where they're just going by committee. And you could see, you know, Booth. I think the top three would probably be Booth, Lee, Daniels. Maybe not in that order. Daniels is a guy that Levy likes. When you can talk to him, because he can do a little bit of everything. He's maybe the most complete guy in that backfield. But Booth is an explosive guy. Lee gives you some power, so they can all do a little something. So it's about finding that right mix and finding out, you know, who can do what at what time, who's good for this play, who's good for that play. Can you see two back formations? I don't know. We'll see how that goes. We're going to switch gears and talk baseball. Tomorrow is the final day for drafted players to sign, and one hasn't signed as of this moment yet that affects Mississippi State in a big way. So what's that going to happen? What's going to happen there? We'll talk about it when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
The Centers for Medicare.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Welcome back to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino down there in Studio X. He'll make sure everything's going well. Our friends in Vicksburg want you to come to the Summer Chef Series. It's been going on all summer long. There have been some really cool chefs there in Vicksburg. This next week on the 10th, next Saturday, at the Catfish Row Museum on Washington Street, 2 o'clock p.m. start, Gino Lee, the owner of the famous Big Apple Inn in Jackson, Mississippi. He will be there for a cooking demonstration. Wonder if he's going to make a pig ear sandwich. Very famous at the Big Apple Inn there in Jackson. If you want more information, go to catfishrowmuseum.org. C-Spire text line is open to you. 601-879-4395 is the number. We're happy to talk about whatever you want to talk about. But we're going to talk some baseball here. Tomorrow is the final day that drafted players, they have to make their decision whether they're going to stay, go to college, stay in college, or go ahead and head to the pros. Mississippi State is still waiting at this time for a final decision for shortstop David Mershon. Drafted in the 18th round by the, I don't even know what they're not the California Angels anymore. Are they just the Los Angeles Angels? Are they the Anaheim Angels? Are they the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim? What are they? I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that they took David Mershon in the 18th round. And as you can tell by the fact that it's the 31st, and we don't have a decision yet, it's obviously something he's very seriously considering. With the way the draft has worked out, if I'm reading things correctly, and I'm the people I'm talking to are correct, they have about 300,000 plus, just a little bit more, to offer Mershon. I can say with, and I haven't spoken to Charlie Winfield directly about this, but I feel very confident in telling you that if David Mershon were to want to come back to Mississippi State for another season, he could easily make that amount in NIL money, re-enter the draft, and make probably a good chunk more next year in the draft. So if he decides to leave Mississippi State, know that he is doing it to make less money. From what I have read, that in his camp, if you will, it's a pretty hard lean towards leaving and going ahead and beginning the professional career. That, you know, going back to his days in high school, the plan was always to do 2 years in college and then head off to the pros. The timing of it with being drafted that late and, you know, the not being able to get a large signing bonus has created some pause. I will just tell you that, to me, I here's the thing. You can't blame Chris Lemonis if a guy just doesn't want to take prudent financial advice and just wants to leave that badly. I mean, at what point, what else can Lemonis do at that point other than say, hey, if you come back, you're our starting shortstop. We're going to have a great NIL package for you, and you'll be good to go for another year. And you still have another year of leverage in the draft, so you don't really lose anything. If you just want to go at that point, I don't know what more Chris Lemonis could do. So I don't have any blame for him in this. But it's really something to me that Mershon isn't looking at this and saying, I can come back next year, be the starting shortstop on a team that should be pretty good. I can, you know, bump up my draft position. I'll make what I was going to make this year in NIL instead of a salary. But instead of having to ride a bus to whatever, you know, rookie ball clubs you're going to play for, you get to stay at Mississippi State and stay in a college town and get to fly on the jet to a lot of games. And you, like I said, from a financial standpoint, you're probably going to make, I mean, you're just going to make extra money. You're probably going to make an extra, I mean, it could be as much as an extra $1 million if things go well for you. Maybe even more. You know, what if Mershon comes out and he hits 350 and shows a little bit more pop and, you know, still that slick glove there at shortstop. I mean, what if he's a, you know, fifth, sixth round pick next year? That's a huge, huge payday that you're pushing away. Could get injured and never go pro too. You're not wrong, but here's the thing. You're going to get that NIL money regardless. I tend to think that if he made a deal with Mississippi State to come back, that if he got hurt, they would find a way to honor some of that. So I think the chances are greater that you'll make more money coming back to Mississippi State. That's just me. Let's not forget he can continue his education. I mean, that is important. I won't lie. I won't give the hypocrisy there. But that being said, I don't think that's a huge consideration for him one way or the other, because this is a guy who wants to be a professional baseball player. We haven't had a chance to talk on this show since the MLB draft, you know, and how it went for Mississippi State, and it didn't go great. You know, they lost a couple of high school guys they would have liked to have brought in. The thing with Mershon is happening. Dakota Jordan, for a minute there, it looked like he might slide to a point where a return to Mississippi State would be a possibility. Then my Giants swooped in, the only team that could have possibly met his pre-draft number, and got it to him. He's got a $2 million deal. Looking forward to seeing him in the Bay very soon. But at the same time, there were some good things for State. A first-round pick and a second-round pick out of that pitching rotation, that's good stuff. That's stuff that you can add to your recruiting profile. And getting Hunter Hines back, I know Hines had a down season last year, but when you look at his career, I mean, it feels like he's going to have a big bounce back year next year. That's just my opinion. But the season he had this past year was not the Hunter Hines we had seen the previous 2 years, where he was one of the best power hitters in college baseball. I think that that's a very fair assumption that he will be back to his old ways, that he'll be close to 300 and close to 20 home runs next year. And that's huge for Mississippi State. State should have a little more pop in the lineup than they had. They didn't have a whole lot of pop this year, which is crazy when you consider they had Hines and Dakota Jordan. But beyond those two guys, there just wasn't a lot of home run threat. I think this upcoming lineup has a little bit more chance to be power heavy than you had the year before. Nothing to consider when this, and you're seeing this year a lot of top 10 round guys have decided to come back. NIL is playing a big role in that, and now you're seeing that that college baseball is going to be allowed to do full scholarships if you want to. Mississippi State's going to be a school that wants to. They're going to have 30 guys on scholarship at Mississippi State. Vanderbilt must be quaking in their boots at this, because now what advantage does Vanderbilt have? It's not a lot. So by this time tomorrow, we should know what the deal is with David Mershon. And at that point, you can kind of go ahead and pencil in your lineup for Mississippi State. And it's going to be transfer heavy. There's going to be a lot of new faces out there. But you could have a pretty solid returning nucleus with Mershon, with Hunter Hines. Ross Highfield should be back next year behind the plate. Bryce Chance back. People talk about Bryce Chance, and it's just like, oh, well, he's not, if you're relying on him. I mean, if Bryce Chance is your sixth or seventh or eighth best player, that's a pretty good team. If my eighth best player is a guy who's going to hit between 270 and 300 with 5 to 10 home runs, I'm cool with that. Also, he's good defensively. Yeah, I'm fine. If that's your seventh or eighth best player, what's the problem? Not everybody's going to hit 325 with double digit home runs. Not in Mississippi State anyway. Maybe at Tennessee. Maybe at A&M next year. I don't know. I think Mershon's going to go pro. Now, could I be wrong? I absolutely could. I'm not here reporting to you that Mershon is going pro. I'm giving you my opinion. My opinion is that David Mershon will sign with the Angels and begin his professional baseball career. I will tell you that I think that's a mistake on his part, that he can make more money long-term by returning to Mississippi State for another season, taking an NIL deal, and going back in the draft next year. He would almost certainly, if he improves, and I have no reason to think David Mershon wouldn't be a better baseball player than he was. He was good this year. He's not anywhere near his ceiling. He could be a much better player than he was this year. And if that's the case, then you're talking about you're going to pass away a lot of money. A lot of money. But at the same time, I understand if your plan, since you were a little kid and when you first realized, hey, I can do this, I can be an elite baseball player, if your plan has always been 2 years in college and I'm moving on, it's hard to get away from that plan. It's hard to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I need to come back. I need to have that other year. A lot of guys, that's a tough decision for them to make. And a lot of guys don't make it. And they go on to the minors. Some of them work through it, and they become great players. Some of them, they don't. So we'll see what happens with Mershon. But right this second, if you said, Brian, what do you think's going to happen? I think that we'll be talking about David Mershon headed to the Angels organization as their 18th round pick. Don't think it's a great idea, but it just kind of is what it is for him. Got some big recruiting news. And I'm saying that very tongue-in-cheek for when we come back. Something happened today that I made me laugh. Hopefully it will make you laugh. If you're watching on Super Talk TV, we'll be able to show it to you. If not, you'll have to check out my Twitter feed. But we'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
So how do you know if you have it?
Thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Hello,
I think sometimes good radio is just talking about what's happening to you in real life. I got a text from one of our coworkers here at the studio. This is Thunder and Lightning Live. Hey, let me know if you need a ride. I'll come back and get you. Did my car get stolen since I've been in here? My car is out front. I parked.
Oh.
I wish I could take this camera with me and this microphone, Rhino. I would go out there and see if my car has been stolen or something's going on. Do I have a flat? That's not a great text to send somebody. Like, if you need a ride, like, what's wrong with my car? I don't know the answer to that. I hope I'm okay. We'll see. Thunder and Lightning live here on Supertalk Mississippi. I teased some recruiting news before we went to break. Let's go ahead. Let's get this graphic of this young stud considering Mississippi State. Look at this guy. Look at that. Hope you're watching on Supertalk TV. They misspelled my name. Where's my NIL deal? Only 4 stars too, Rhino. Plus, looking at this guy, look at him. Pretty clearly not a lineman, right? I think I'm a back or a receiver here. But Brian, they gave it the old country spelling. Hadad. H-A-D-D-A-D. 4-star something or other. I need to find out more. I want to know what his overall is when he signs. This is our first chance to talk since I've got that game. And, buddy, I have played it a lot. Quite a bit. I am in year 3 of my dynasty now, and really, really enjoying it. I haven't seen this guy on the on my recruits list. I would have definitely signed him had he been there. Look at that hair. I don't know if I could pull off hair like that. I'd have to let it grow for about 2 years just to get there.
I was about to ask, have you ever tried?
I've never been much for long hair. I had a bowl cut back in the day, like the skater bowl cut.
Oh, yeah.
So it was pretty long, but it was not long. Like, it wasn't ever to my shoulders or anything like that. So, like, you grow your hair once a year, and you get it pretty long. But I don't know, like, to get it, like, feathered out like that. I think that would take a couple of years for me. I'm more mad about the 4 stars. What do I got to do to get a 5th star? That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that I'm not a 5-star recruit. So, if you can't see this, if you're not watching at Super Talk TV, please check out my Twitter feed at Brian Haydad. If you're in Jackson, well, I'm not in Jackson. I'm in Starkville. that's rough though. So yeah, we've got football back this week. There's actual live tackle football on television tomorrow. The Hall of Fame game will be happening, but we've got practice. So I'll be at practice tomorrow for Mississippi State. We'll talk to Jeff Lebby after that. Also tomorrow, I'm interviewing talking to Cole Kublik for the podcast. So that'll be fun. Get to talk to Cole. Hadn't talked to him since SEC Media Days. Get his thoughts. Of course, you know, he and Richard did the spring game. So he has a little more insight into Mississippi State than a lot of these other national pundits do. We've got some great interviews lined up for the podcast, by the way. You will not want to miss that as we get closer and closer here to football season. I mean, I'm looking here at my helmet schedule. We've only got 4 more previews to do, so we're 4 weeks away. 4 weeks from actual college football here in the state of Mississippi. I don't know about you. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. And I don't want to overreact to things I see tomorrow, but at the same time, I'm probably gonna. That's fine, though. That's not an issue for me. Also, tomorrow, I'm just going to tease this because I'm not 100%. Not 100%, but I may have something tomorrow that makes Richard very jealous. And if that is the case, I will unveil it on tomorrow's Sports Talk Mississippi. But there may be something coming my way that he's going to look at and go, wait, what? You got what? I don't want to say too much. Hey, our friends over at the Vicksburg Visitors and Convention Bureau. Took me a second there. Want to remind you that there's just a lot going on in the great city of Vicksburg. August 16th through the 18th, a Southern Antiques Affair. Step into the world where history meets style at a Southern Antiques Affair. Join us for a delightful weekend in the heart of Vicksburg, Mississippi. Dedicated to celebrating the allure of antique treasures and beloved grand millennial style. There'll be a shopping extravaganza, exclusive tours, decorating and entertaining workshops, appraisal services for you can bring in your antiques, and of course, the famous Southern hospitality that my hometown, Vicksburg, is known for. Reserve your spot today at eventcreate.com/e/a-southern-antiques-affair. Or just go to Vicksburg, visit Vicksburg.com and find out more information there. Rhino, glad to be back with you here on Wednesdays going forward. Glad to be back live with you guys. I do miss the steel cage a little bit, but it is what it is. Be at practice tomorrow, and football will be back here in Starkville for another season. Until then, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening tonight to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.